Welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
But it is a special day, church. We're a Pentecostal church, and so Pentecost Sunday is something that, you know, we're very conscious of, very aware of, very grateful for. And if you're new to our church, or even if you're new to a Pentecostal church, you know, we, like other Christians, just have our belief, our faith in God, thank Jesus for all that he has done. But one of the things that is so powerful, and one of the things that I've been so grateful in being a part of a Pentecostal church, is our honor of the Holy Spirit, our recognition that we are not called to do this alone or to do this in our own effort, but to partner with God every single day of our life. And so right now, what I'd love to do is actually just read the story of Pentecost to you. Is that okay? And maybe for you, you're new to the Bible and, you know, you're learning about who God is and how he works. We're so grateful for the stories of Scripture that help reveal his character, his nature, and the way that he moves. And, you know, today is 50 days after Easter. And in the first century, when we read this story of Pentecost, there was a Jewish festival where everyone gathered 50 days after the Passover. And it was a day where, you know, one of the three festivals that would bring sort of the Jewish people from right across the diaspora into Jerusalem to worship God. And they came from every sort of country. They had all different languages. And as we're going to see in this scripture, God moved powerfully, chose that day to pour out his spirit in a way that the world had never seen and has changed the world forever. And here we are all these years later, still receiving from the Holy Spirit what began on that day. And so if you have your Bibles, or if you want to read along on screen, we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 2. We're going to read all the way from verse 1 to 21. So it's a portion of scripture, but I think it's good to read the Bible in church. And so let's read the Bible and then we'll unpack it for a few moments. It says this in Acts chapter 2, just a little bit of context. Jesus has died and rose again, and then he has come back and appeared to his followers. And as he was teaching them, ministering to them, he says to them, hey, here's what I want you to do. I know you're excited. I know that your mind is being blown by the possibility of what this might mean, resurrection power and life after death. But he says, what I want you to do is actually want you to wait for the gift that I'm going to give you. I want you to wait for the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to act on your own. You know, this message and what I'm trying to do on the earth is not something that can be achieved by man alone. The Bible says that man makes their plans, but it's God who determines their steps. You know, we can come to the table, but it's actually the power of God that brings the substance and the transformation that Jesus wanted to bring. And he says, just wait, because when my spirit comes, you will receive power. And you'll become my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. You will go in the power of God. And you got to remember, these guys know what that's like, because they were sent out by Jesus and he gave them authority to speak against, set people free from evil forces, and then also to heal people. So they've experienced what it is to have the power of God on them. But God is saying, Jesus is saying, hey, you just wait, because that's going to reside within you and that's going to be what empowers you. And so he goes back to be with the Father. And while the disciples are waiting for this gift, they're in a room praying. And this is where we pick up the story in Acts chapter 2. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were, staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene. How's this like list of nations right here? There are people from everywhere. visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. And then Peter, he stood up with the 11, and he raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. He says, "Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for the coming of the Holy Spirit. You know, this book of Acts that we read this in, this second chapter, just details this experience that these believers had and then sort of the subsequent move of God that took place. In fact, that very day after Peter finished speaking, the Bible says that there were 3,000 people who were believed and baptized. What an incredible move of God. And that day, these people from all around the world heard the good news in their language and were able to take that back into the nations that they were traveling back to. And it was the beginning of the church. And here we are all these years later, still experiencing the same power of God through the Holy Spirit that was first poured out on this amazing day all those years ago. You know, before Pentecost, there was the promise of the Holy Spirit. We had seen the presence of God reside in a tabernacle, in a temple. Often the imagery around God's presence was fire. But then in this moment, what we see here is fire not fall on a place, but fall on people. And it marked the beginning of a transformation of the next phase of God's destiny, which was that the church and the people of God were the temple, that they were the people in which God would dwell. It was no longer a location, a physical place that people would visit, but as believers and those who received Christ would be filled with the presence of God. And where they went, God would go. You know, Jesus taught us to pray that we are to ask God that his will be done, that the kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what we saw in Jesus is the kingdom of God pushing back the forces of darkness on earth. Sickness would flee. Demons would flee. Brokenness would flee. Those who were lost were saved. We start to see the light of life push back the dominion of darkness. And he says, when you who follow me and believe in me go forth, you will do even greater things than you have seen me doing. And this is fulfilled. This promise in John 14 that Jesus made was fulfilled in the book of Acts. The book of Acts basically documents the story of the believers and what God did through them as the church grew. But what might be a more accurate title for the book of Acts would be the Acts of the Apostles is what it's known as, might be better to be explained as the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. Because ultimately what Acts is a story of the way that the Holy Spirit moved. What you read when you read the book of Acts and what you see so clearly is that it's not the people asking the Holy Spirit to bless their plans, but it's the people trying to keep up with the plans of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit was let loose through believers. And where they went, God went. And every single turn, or every single chapter, you're reading another almost unbelievable story of the way that the Holy Spirit moved. You read one story of somebody who's out there and a revival's taken place in Samaria and God's moving and the Holy Spirit is just like, hey, I want you to go and speak to an individual person who's on a back street somewhere because I've got a plan for their life. And God takes Philip to this place and he shares the gospel with this Ethiopian dignitary, and this person is saved, baptized, and they take the gospel back into their country. It's amazing. And then Philip, the Bible says that he was teleported, basically moved to a different place. The Holy Spirit did something supernaturally powerful in his life. The very story we just read, you know, how long would it take for you to get around the known world and to share and translate the good news? But God, in his wisdom, by his Spirit, chose that moment to bless these people with this gift. And as they started speaking and sharing the good news, all of these people from all of these countries heard the good news, were filled with the Spirit, gave their life to God, were baptized, became believers, and in turn received the Spirit and carried that on. And the echo of what God began there continues to this very day. You know, as Pentecost came about, the believers were filled with the power of God. From there, they started to walk around, pray for people that would be healed. They started to preach. There were people that were turning around. They even went beyond the Jewish people that at that point had been the ones that had received the gospel. All of a sudden, Acts chapter 10, it goes to the Gentiles as well. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit falls. What do they say? They said, wow, if the Holy Spirit has fallen on these Gentiles, then who are we to say that they can't be baptized? God shows no favoritism. Surely He has given them the Holy Spirit. They could see the Holy Spirit's work in their life, and they started to experience the power of God. And what I want to encourage us with today, I know we don't have a long time, but what I really felt stirred to encourage us with is the pattern that we see in the book of Acts about the dynamic and the powerful moving of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. It is not, our faith is not just about knowledge. Our faith is not just about understanding or cognitive understanding. It is beyond that. It's about partnering with God in the kingdom of heaven. It is about seeing His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You are called to live a life that is full of the power of God, the dunamis power of God. You are not called to live this life alone. If you need wisdom, God has wisdom for you. If you need a miracle, God has a miracle for you. What He has not called us to do is live our life our own way, asking for His blessing, but to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, at Horizon, we say boldly that we are Christ-centered, we are Word-based, and we are Spirit-led. You know, we truly are. We love Jesus. We honor and worship Jesus and thank Him for what He has done for us. You know, if you've been around for more than a week, you will know how passionate we are about the Word of God. You know, our theme this year is, "This is my Bible." We are Word-based, but we recognize that ultimately we need to be Spirit-led. It is the Holy Spirit who has a plan for your life, a purpose for your life, and without Him, you will not fulfill all that God has for you to fulfill. I'm just going to ask the band to come back up now. We are going to finish in a moment on a spot of worship and to create some space for people to really press into to God and to really receive the Holy Spirit. But what I wanted to stir you with this morning is, if your faith has become, you know, a bit monotonous, maybe your faith has become predictable, maybe your faith journey, your experience of God has started to sort of taper off, that's not God's will for you. That is not God's heart for you. In fact, one of the people that, as you read the book of Acts, is featured a lot is a guy called Paul. Now, his story is he was educated. He was sort of the ultimate Jewish scholar of the day. He was the young up-and-comer that everyone was like, mate, this guy knows the scriptures like no one else's business. But even with all of that knowledge, it took an encounter for him to realize that God wanted to lead him by His Spirit. But what happens is Paul gave himself to God and he says, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm going to be led by you. And the Bible says that this journey was a Spirit-led journey. We constantly see Paul saying, hey, you know, I wanted and I was praying for this, but God said, no, the Spirit of God would not let me do that. But He opened up this door for me. The Spirit of God has opened up this door. Yes, there's adversaries, but He's the one that opened it. So therefore, I can walk in the power of God. We see in His teachings time and time again, Him encouraging a younger generation. Don't neglect the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit, He says in 1 Corinthians 14. Come on. You got to remember the Spirit is your key. He says to Timothy, He says, come on, Timothy, remind yourself of the prophecies, so that you can wage a good war for the things of God. Don't give up on trusting in the Holy Spirit. You can't do this on your own. He encourages people, hey, come on, I pray in tongues more than all of you. And He's telling them, come on, desire the gifts, seek the gifts. And what we see is that as the Holy Spirit started to move, that it is actually the characteristics and the fruit of the Spirit that we start to see. We start to see the love of God, the peace of God, the patience, the kindness, the goodness of God. We see these people starting to gather. They're starting to seek healing. They're starting to find the generosity of God. They're starting to find restoration. They're starting to find His direction in their life. And it all comes through the Spirit. And as believers, we don't get the Spirit, as Baz said so beautifully this morning, because we earned it, because we did a good job this week. And therefore, God wants to bless us and say, hey, you know, the Holy Spirit's with us in the up and the down. The Holy Spirit is the one that guides us and leads us, and is the one that lifts us as well. And so this morning, what I'd love to do is to just pray for two groups of people. I want to firstly pray for people who maybe you're hearing about the presence of God for the first time. Maybe you didn't realize that this journey with God is something you can experience for yourself. Maybe it's been something that you've observed from a distance or you've seen in a friend. But this morning, God wants to say, it's for you. It's for you. Jesus died. He gave his life so that you can be restored to God and be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's for you. In the same way that on that first day when the Spirit fell and Peter explained that, hey, God's already talked about this in Scripture. This is what he explained would happen, that the Spirit would come and it would come on all people, young, old, male, female, slave, rich, doesn't matter. Wherever you're at, God is here for you and you're going to experience the power of God in your life. 3,000 people in their heart said, I need that. And if this morning you in your heart know that you need it, then I want to encourage you to take this moment to open up your heart to God. So I want to pray for you. And then after that, we're going to pray for every single person here who is just ready to stir up their faith, to fan into flame, as the Bible says, these gifts of the Spirit, and get themselves back into that place where they are hearing the Holy Spirit, walking with God, and the dynamic nature that we've read in Acts starts to take place in their life. And so here's what I want to do. Wherever you are right now, just to create a moment for people who are ready to open up their heart to Jesus, would you just maybe close your eyes, help your focus, give people around you a moment's privacy. And if you're in this room right now and you are distant from God, maybe you've never opened up your heart to God, maybe right now you can just sense in your heart that this is for you. I don't know much, but I've experienced something this morning that I need more of. If that's you, I want to pray with you. Just so I know who to pray with, if that's you, would you just give me a wave right now, wherever you are. Say, yeah, I'm ready to take a step of faith. I can feel God drawing me to himself. I'm saying yes to open up my heart to God. If that's you, just give us a wave. Amazing. If that's you, just let us know so I can pray with you. So I know who to include in prayer over here as well. Fantastic. Great decision. I won't rush this moment because, yeah, over here, fantastic. In fact, let's just take a breath and just keep your eyes closed, but we really don't want to rush this moment. This is where it all begins. This is where it moves from a theory or, you know, something you've heard about over here as well. And this is where it becomes real. This is where it becomes tangible. This is where it becomes yours. It's a step of faith. I can't take the step of faith for you. Your spouse can't take the step of faith for you. Your parents can't take a step of faith for you. God is calling you to himself and he's saying, come on, trust me. If you need to take this step of faith, place your life in God's hands. You're ready to experience the reality of God in your life. Wherever you are, just give me a wave and join those amazing people who this morning, yeah, so good. Yeah, so good. Anyone else, just before we move on, my hands are going up. I'm just going to linger for a moment. Holy Spirit is here. He is the one that is drawing you to himself. Amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Well, for those that raise their hand and for anyone else who in your heart, you know that you're ready to take this step, I'm just going to lead you in a simple prayer. And I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Not to me, I can't help you, but if you pray it to God, he will hear you. And the Bible says that the old will become new, that you will become a new creation in him. And whatever it is that has been standing between you and God is done, dealt with. And right now you can experience the presence and the power of God in your life for yourself. So with every eye closed right now, would you repeat this prayer after me? Church, can we all pray so that those who put their hand up aren't alone? Let's all pray this right now to Jesus. So after me, dear Jesus, I know that you love me and that you have made a way for me to be reconciled to God. And so I accept what you have done for me when you died and when you rose again, and I receive your eternal life, and I thank you for your Holy Spirit who has made his home in my heart and will be with me forevermore. I declare you my Lord and Savior, and from this day forward, by your Spirit, would you walk with me, and would you talk to me, and would you live in me. In Jesus' name. powerful moment. God, we just thank you for those, God, who responded this morning, those who in their heart have said yes to you, Jesus. We thank you that this is the beginning, the most exciting journey. God, a journey of healing and wholeness, of restoration and reconciliation, and an opportunity for them to experience the love of God, the unconditional love of God. Lord, we just pray, Jesus, that it would transform them. And Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that the work that you do in those who follow you by your Spirit eventually overflows into the world around them. And we just declare right now the same way, God, that you poured out your Spirit until it was overflowing. I pray, God, that your Spirit, God, would touch all of our hearts so that it's overflowing. In fact, right now, in this next moment, could I just ask church, wherever you are, if you're able, just to stand up, and we're just going to lean into the presence of God. I'm just going to pray over you. I'm just going to ask for God's blessing. If that's just everyone right now, we can just stand up. We're going to go back into worship in a moment. But what I want to do before we go back into worship is I want to pray. I want to pray for you to know the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to press in. And in fact, I'm just going to open up the altar again. We're not in a rush this morning. We're going to make space for God to move. And I just believe that there's some people out there and you need to do something. You need to take a step of faith. You need to stir yourself up. You need to lean into what God's doing. You need to almost shake the dust off. And I know for some people, stepping out of your seat, coming forward to have a moment with God, to receive some prayer, to be ministered to, that could be your thing right now. And so right now, just while eyes are closed, Lord, we just thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray right now, God, you begin to stir your people up. You begin to stir us, God, to believe for the impossible again. You begin to stir us up, God, to believe that you will speak to us, God, that you will lead us, God, that you will guide us, God. Lord, I just thank you for those, God, in this room who are dealing with circumstances that are too complex for them to see clearly the path forward. We thank you, Jesus, that you know all things and by your Spirit will walk us, God, into your destiny. I thank you for the supernatural wisdom of God that comes as we walk with your Spirit. Lord, I pray right now for those who are burdened, God, in their heart, God, for people in their world. Lord, I pray right now that you would stir them, God, to prayer, God, that your Spirit would begin to reveal, God, keys to unlock the journey that people are on. In fact, even for me right now, Holy Spirit, I've got one guy in my life, God, and I'm not sure how to connect him with you, but God, I can sense that you're just asking me to share more and more of your love, God. Would you give me wisdom? Would you give me insight, God? Would you give me keys, Lord, to open up the conversation that he may receive and experience the power of God? And we just pray that, God, over every single person right now. And we're just going to press in. So church, wherever you are right now, close your eyes, lift your hands. Let's go back into worship. If you want to come forward, if you want to stir up your faith, if you want to do something different, then get out of your seat, come down. We're going to pray for one another right now.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.